At Giant Eagle, we believe in better. And that includes finding more ways to help you save. Because finding a good deal is everyone's deal. Because every dollar and every moment counts. On sale this season at Giant Eagle, you'll find lower prices on hundreds of favorites, like seedless grapes, ground beef, Giant Eagle American cheese, and more. Giant Eagle, because it matters. Limited time only through September 9, 2026. Prices and participation may vary. See store for details.
What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and you know what's more American than America's 250th birthday? Supporting American-owned companies like SpinQuest, America's number one social casino with over 1,000 games like Live Dealer Blackjack and Craps. They're offering new users a $30 coin package for just $10. Go to SpinQuest.com and sign up today.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Welcome back in, hour number two of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions right here. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road and Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Tuesday morning, taking your thoughts all show long on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. The Vols, a big win against South Alabama on Saturday. They win 60-14, two safeties to close out that game, which including a snap over the head of the punter. Always love seeing those. Just a rocket by the long snapper over the head of the punter. Tennessee puts up 60 in that game. Hendon Hooker, 17 of 20, 273 yards, two touchdowns. Jalen Wright seems to be getting better. Good carries in that game. And then Velus Jones Jr., Cedric Tillman continue to be productive on a game-in and game-out basis for this offense. That gives Tennessee six wins on the season. So, at worst, they will be 6-6 to close out the regular season. They are a 31.5-point favorite coming up on Saturday against Vanderbilt. So, 7-5, very much on the table for this Vols team. Bowl eligible in Josh Heupel's first year. Joe Rexroad, I ask you, how big a deal is this? Tennessee bowl eligible in Josh Heupel's first year with a chance to go 7-5. And not just go 7-5, but the way they've done it. And the way the offense has looked in particular, pretty impressive so far this year.
Yeah, it's a big deal, but not just because, like, the Vols could have gone 6-6 or 7-5 this year and not been as encouraging. I think they've been encouraging beyond the record. I mean, look, if you go through the schedule, and you could do this and also feel bad about things because it could be a lot better. They could be at least playing like in a, you know, a Florida New Year's type Outback Bowl or something like that. I mean, they had a chance to beat Pittsburgh. They had a chance to beat Ole Miss. And really, I mean, they were a couple plays away from really much more interesting games against Florida and Alabama. So that to me is the only game where I came away saying, "Whew, you don't want any part of that anymore," is Georgia. I mean, I know Alabama went nuts at the end and extended the score, but they were right there with Alabama for most of that game. So, overall, I just think it's been encouraging how they've played. I know that Missouri and South Carolina have gotten a lot better, and that's certainly, like, South Carolina, just like I think the Vols would kill Florida right now if they played them. They might actually have games with South Carolina and Missouri right now, but the bottom line is they did blow those teams out, and those teams aren't bad. So, I think it's been very encouraging just how they've played and also just how fun it is to watch them play now compared to before. This is entertainment.
They've certainly been that so far this year, and I'll say, I mean, they have exceeded my expectations. I had them going 6-6 to begin the year, but they've looked better on both sides of the ball than I thought they would so far this year. And Josh Heupel was asked about that yesterday in terms of exceeding expectations in his first year. Here's what Tennessee head coach Josh Heupel had to say yesterday at his press conference.
Yeah, for sure. I think outside expectations, outside noise is something that myself and our staff have tried to not pay attention to, and I think our players have bought into that as well. And from the moment that I got here, I never placed a ceiling on what our football team could do. You've heard me say it, that we are in a race against ourselves. I'm so proud of the growth from the first day that I got here to who we are now. Certainly want some things to be better at the same time, too, as a coach. But the growth of individuals and collectively as a team really special. I think we've laid a great foundation to what we're going to be in the future.
That was Josh Heupel yesterday at his press conference. And, Joe, one thing that he said there that when I got to thinking about it yesterday, I think is absolutely true. This team's gotten a lot better as the season's gone on. I mean, the quarterback play, like, obviously has a lot to do with that. Hendon Hooker has been awesome. The defense, they've had their moments where they've gotten lit up on the scoreboard because, the Kentucky ran all over them. They had 600 yards of offense. Georgia hung up some points on them. Alabama obviously hung up some points on them. I mean, Florida. But I think this team has gotten better as the season has gone on. And to me, that may be the most encouraging thing is, as you look forward for what that means, there are a lot of signs this year to me that signal good coaching. And that is teams getting better as the season goes along. I think the defense overperformed largely this year based on the talent that they have. And then Hendon Hooker in the offense, I mean, they're one of the most lethal offenses in the country. I think Josh Heupel has done a pretty outstanding job in his first year.
Well, I do too. Now, we'll see where things go, defensively. I'd like to see the way they play. I'd like to see it with better players. I'd like to see it with more depth, too. And that's been the big problem is, like, their frontline players this year, competitive, but they just don't, they've lost a ton of guys. So I'd like to see what that looks like. I still think it's tough to be a defense with that offense. I mean, look, so if you take away, if you count, like, the penalties, what was it, like 103 plays those guys were on the field against Kentucky? Like that's tough, man.
Yeah.
Like, what do you expect? And they made plays to win the game, but that is asking a ton of a defense. But I think the thing with the offense, something that should be totally flushed, and I still get asked the question, like, it should be flushed. This idea of, like, yeah, but is the SEC going to figure out Heupel's offense? Is the SEC going to catch up or whatever? I mean, this offense isn't new. The reason they're so good is, obviously, he knows how to teach the offense, and Alex Golesh and all those coaches teach them to execute at an incredible speed without mistakes. Very impressive. But beyond that, Heupel is a great game planner and play caller.
Yeah.
And that's obvious. That's got to be obvious. I mean, even look at the early scripted stuff against Georgia. I mean, Georgia looked like just an average. Eventually they didn't, okay? They didn't look like an average D.
No.
They should win the whole thing. But the fact that you even were able to script some of the plays they got against them, what does that tell you? I mean, the guy, he's coaching offense. It's not gimmicking stuff. So you feel great about that. And what happens when they bring in whoever it is, and who knows, because every year, every program, every Power 5 program has a quarterback who has big expectations, and a lot of them don't pan out. But when he gets the quarterback that he loves coming out of high school and has extended time with him, what does that mean? It's still, then you come back around with this discussion with Heupel too. So shouldn't offensive players out there be just begging to play in this offense right now?
You would think so. Yeah, you would think so. And I agree. Like, the play calling has been spot on for the most part. He's got a really good feel of when to call big plays. Like, how many times this year have you thought to yourself, oh, I don't know about that. That's not a great play call. Hadn't been very many with Josh Heupel this year. And I think it's a credit to his offensive staff and what they're able to do. But, what you've been waiting on is maybe some positive news in the recruiting front as well. They got a little bit yesterday in terms of a commitment from a four-star edge rusher, Joshua Joseph, committing to Tennessee. So big day yesterday for Tennessee on the recruiting front. We'll see if that can continue to happen as the early signing period, which has basically become National Signing Day, as that creeps up a little closer here.
Right. I mean, there are still some big recruits who wait. But, yeah, for the most part, this is it. And you've got a few weeks here, and that's really – I mean, it's obviously huge this week to finish on a high note. I don't know if this game, in terms of bowl destination, really matters, does it?
Not a ton, I wouldn't think.
I mean, it's probably going to be Music City, Liberty, or Duke's Mayo, right? I'm assuming.
Yeah.
But still, I mean, obviously, you want to beat Vanderbilt. You should beat Vanderbilt. I'm holding out the possibility that this could be a little bit more competitive of a game if Vanderbilt plays like they did, but I mean, this offense, I mean, no one had slowed this down other than Georgia. I mean, Florida did, I guess. but they kind of stymied themselves, and that just the game just kind of got out of hand. I still didn't feel like in that game, like Florida really had some answers for them. They didn't.
Well, Tennessee just missed on some too.
They missed on some.
I think it was it Jimmy Callaway had the drop and wide open for a touchdown.
And that what does that make it 21-all in the third? And who knows, right? But I mean, one team has been able to feel good about defending Tennessee this year for an extended stretch. So Vanderbilt probably won't, but I'm quite sure they won't. They're gonna have to score a lot of points to be in the game. But this is also a time period of moving toward, you know, what can you do for signing day? Maybe there's maybe that's a sign of some serious momentum yesterday.
It is amazing, and I realize you can do this with a lot of teams throughout college football, throughout professional sports, throughout whatever sports you want to pick. Tennessee 6-5. They've got a good chance to be 7-5. Right there in the Pittsburgh game. Right there in the Ole Miss game. The Florida thing is just still unbelievable to me. How they started off the way they started off this season, and now Dan Mullen's fired and they look like a shell of themselves. But, I mean, you're talking about – I mean, they were right there as a chance to hang in there and for 8 or 9 wins this year. It's pretty incredible to think about.
Yeah,
well, based on where they were when they took over the program.
Yeah, again, you move things around. It could be a 10-win team. A couple plays here and there. Just move the Florida game like 3 weeks later. And they're like in the Peach Bowl, you know? They're like in a New Year's Six Bowl.
Jumping Cincinnati for the playoff.
I mean, hey, can Ryan Porth imagine?
I'm sure you do.
Still,
the tears are flowing.
Still, the tears continue. The tears are still delicious, I assume, right?
Yes.
For the Vols fan.
34 out of the last 37. It's gone well. Good luck with that. We'll continue the conversation on Tennessee. Welcome more of your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, and YouTube today and every day. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. Robbie and Rex Road brought to you by Volunteer State Bank, conveniently serving Middle Tennessee with 13 locations. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. We'll be joined by our good friend Gentry Estes from the Tennessean to begin the 8 o'clock hour, so looking forward to that coming up here in about 45 minutes or so.
You know, one thing I really feel, I should apologize to you and the listeners, I don't think I've done enough, is shamelessly pimp my own stories in The Athletic. I don't feel like I've been doing that very well. Maybe I just haven't been working that much.
Maybe not.
But I have about 3,000 words on the Vols today.
Wow. So.
And it's a pretty cool story about these seniors who have been through, who were there with Butch through now.
Yeah.
I mean, if you really think about, and Jaquan Blakely is a guy who is the one guy who was there in 16. He was redshirt freshman in 16. Obviously, he's only here because of COVID. He has the extra year. A few of those guys are only here. Theo Jackson is not playing college football this year, and he's had an all-SEC type of year because he got that extra year. So, one, it's a great, gratifying year for them with his staff, but also think about that. Going through all that stuff, Butch, and you know, thinking you're coming here to win championships, and that dissolving, and Shiano Sunday, and who's the AD, and who's the coach, and then, I mean, just the Pruitt era alone, and now to this. But also, included in the story, some of these guys have had some serious real-life stuff, which kind of helps you realize, well, it's still a privilege to play football, and there's a lot of great things about that. And I guess I hadn't thought about it, but it's why you should be thankful.
That's right.
I didn't even,
it's a good week for that.
I didn't put in a cheesy Thanksgiving line in the story. I should have. missed out. I could maybe go and see if Mitch Light can go in there.
Yeah, it's not too late
for me. Yeah. But so anyway.
3,000 words, huh?
Yeah,
I like that.
Words. Yeah, yeah. I mean, ask Mitch. By the way, you know, we should have Mitch on. Darren Donnick and Chase, monopolizes Mitch.
Yeah.
It's kind of not fair. I mean, he's my editor. You know, he's my editor. How come we can't have Mitch on? I mean, they never told me we can't. You know
I'm sure that he could come on every
it's
now and then.
Kind of taboo.
Yeah. He's my editor.
Oh, no. We've talked about this before. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we should. He used to come in studio, like, you know, before everything, he used to come in on their show in studio for like an hour. He's, you know, he's a college football. I mean, he edited, you know, the Athlon magazine forever.
Yeah.
And now he's an editor at the
Athlon. He can tell you the sixth wide receiver on Louisiana Monroe.
Yes, he can. Still.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, anyway, thanks for editing that story, Mitch.
Okay. Shout out to Mitch.
Shout out to Mitch. 3,000 words. He went to the Preds game last night, and then he came home for 3,000 words. That's got to be nice.
Great present waiting for him when he got home.
Yeah, yeah.
Courtesy of Joe Rexroth. So, Joe, it is no secret. We were on the air when Josh Heupel was hired by the Tennessee Volunteers. I think it's fair to say that both your reaction and mine underwhelmed by the hiring of Josh Heupel at the time. You know, I honestly did not expect it to go well at all. I thought it may be a disaster from the start. So I asked this question knowing that I feel at least slightly differently about the hire now. How much differently do you feel about the hiring of Josh Heupel based on what we've seen so far through the first year of on-the-field action for the Tennessee Volunteers?
I definitely feel better. Look, he's a likable coach who clearly is a very good offensive coach. I think Tim Banks has done a nice job as DC. Also, by the way, another part of this story, a big part of this story, big part of the first year, big part of the hire is getting Rodney Garner. Rodney Garner is one of those, I mean, it's so important at this level. I mean, obviously, if you're Nick Saban, you know, you can just say, okay, we'll take this all-star. Hey, Dan Mullen, come on in for a year, be an analyst or whatever. Although, by the way, I think Vanderbilt should be throwing money at Dan Mullen to be OC. But, you know, if you're a program like that, you just get your all-stars in. And it's, but, like, Josh Heupel coming into the SEC, like, you needed to, you know, to make some big hires. And I feel like he's put together a really good staff. And Garner, to me, I mean, you can't talk to anyone over there without hearing about Rodney Garner. So I think he's put together a good staff for his first year. We've talked about on the field. It's been good. And I still think, you know, the question whenever the Vols have a coaching hire, and we talked about that day, is, okay, who are you getting who can get you back to being a championship-level program? I can't sit here and say, like, I feel great about that happening under Heupel. I'm not ruling it out. I don't feel great about it. I think it's hard, frankly, for any program in the East not named Georgia to feel good about the near term. It's just there's such a gap between them and everybody else in terms of just the talent on the field. But I think Heupel has established some things, and it's going to be very interesting moving forward. You know, if they can put together good enough defenses, then I could see them having a team that, you know, a veteran team with a great quarterback. That's what it's about. You got to have a great quarterback. And Hendon Hooker is good.
Pretty darn good.
He's very good. But that's what it's going to take to kind of break through. But, I mean, if you're a Vols fan, I've got to think you like what you see, and you're hopeful. I mean, we just don't know how these things are going to turn out. I mean, at some point, things are going to break their way on something. You know, Florida's situation right now is an opportunity to me. I mean, I don't know who the heck they're going to hire. But at some point, like, they've been able to stay ahead of you and beat you most years, even though really they've been spinning their wheels for a long time. At some point, they might really dip. And then you can take advantage. If you can get to number two in the East, then you take aim at the big guns. And Georgia is it's just a problem. So you have to be realistic about what you're trying to do.
You do. I mean, the next step for Heupel is the recruiting part of this, which we've talked about, you know, taking that next step into building some depth where you can compete with some of these bigger teams. But that to me, when he first got hired, my question was, all right, like, is this going to work out in terms of consistently beating the Missouris and South Carolinas and Kentuckys of the world? You can worry about the Alabamas and the Georgias a little bit later down the road. You know, I feel a lot better about that than I did before this season started based on the way that he's coached. Now, you know, I think Tennessee fans You're going to hear a lot about Josh Heupel this offseason. There's a lot of positive momentum. All that's great. There's a time we talked a lot about Jeremy Pruitt as well in terms of the job he did. So it can change very quickly in the world of college football. Ask Dan Mullen. He was in the SEC title game last year, and less than a year later does not have a job at the University of Florida. So this doesn't necessarily mean what he's done this year, that he's going to be successful as they move forward. But I will say, I do feel better about the hire.
Yeah, I agree. It's a good start, and that's exactly the point. I mean, Mullen had a bad month. It's astounding to me that he's out, honestly. The more I think about it, amazing. I know that recruiting hasn't gone as well for him, so that's part of it. It's not just like, you know, this year in the field, like the recruiting has not been what they want it to be. I mean, going through this stuff with Butch, you know, he had a month in on as of late October. You know, yeah, they had been blown out by Alabama at the end of this ridiculous stretch of games, right? They beat Florida. They Hail Mary against Georgia. Incredible game at Texas A&M and Alabama. Four straight weeks. Those are the games they play.
Yeah.
They get blown up by Alabama, but they're going to win the East. They're going to have to play Alabama again in Georgia, but still, they're going to win the East. And then they go lose that game at South Carolina. And in a month, okay, he went from untouchable, this is our guy, to
lame duck.
He's on the hot seat. Yeah, it happened so fast. And like you said with Pruitt, there were moments with Pruitt beating Kentucky his first year. The 8-game winning streak?
Yeah.
As of the 8-game winning streak, a little more than a year ago.
Well, the Balls are back, and they're about to take a bite of everybody's behind, according to Fulmer.
And then it's just gone. So, yeah, you just – it's day-to-day in this sport. More than any sport is day-to-day. But I think – and also, like, there's a lot of – just like when Butch was out and Pruitt came in, there were all these finally a bulk. And now Pruitt's out, and now, you know, Heupel is a more likable guy. And that's all fine. It's always going to happen, especially, I think, with college coaching changes. But just stay even handed, you know. I mean, there's nothing that this year that tells me all of a sudden they're going to start having 10-2, 11-1 seasons. I mean, they're still a ways away from that.
John in Nashville on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Let Michelle know that Louisville is favored by Kentucky over this weekend, bringing that Governor's Trophy back to Louisville. Louisville is a 2.5-point favorite.
You know, I just realized.
The game's in Louisville?
I just realized this is an opportunity for you and Jared to get into a little. Yeah. L's down. Is that a thing? So it looks like you're shooting into the ground.
Yeah.
L's down. I only knew about horns
down. I was about to say, taking a page out of the horns down?
Yeah, okay.
Horns have been down this year, by the way.
Well, why don't we get you and Jared well. With a – yeah, the horns – oh, he is. I'm too busy listening to all the other sports talk shows in the world. That was a terrible Jared impersonation.
Yeah, that kind of sounded like one of those 1950s movie stars that you grew up watching.
Yeah, exactly.
Going to the theater to see.
Hey there, everybody, and the Fighting Irish came out on the... Yeah. Thanks.
We'll come back, we'll switch gears, get back into the NFL. What do we make of the AFC and where the Titans exactly fit in through the first 11 weeks of the season? That's a very difficult question to figure out. We'll get to that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. That was Taylor Lewan after the game on Sunday against the Houston Texans. Defending his quarterback, obviously some strong words there for his buddy Ryan Tannehill after a tough game for Tannehill, 4 interceptions against the Texans. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Now with 2 locations in Murfreesboro, visit their brand new Murfreesboro location at 2019 Memorial Boulevard, member FDIC, equal housing lender. So, Joe Rextro, the Titans drop to the Houston Texans, and I was wondering, what's that going to look like in terms of the power rankings that we've made such a big deal about here on this show, and really throughout the country? Apparently, NFL power rankings, very, very important. The last couple I've done on Twitter, huge response. Huge response.
I've got my file up right now.
Yeah, we all love some power rankings. The Titans fell from number 2 to number 3 in ESPN's power rankings over the weekend. Arizona at 1, Green Bay at 2, who also lost, and the Tennessee Titans at 3. So they fell one spot. So maybe that that disrespect I was expecting this week, maybe it doesn't quite happen.
It's about time people start getting angry about the too much respect the, Titans are getting nationally. Power rankings are tough because I like on achievement, that's totally right. I still say, I guess if you're, I mean, if you're taking into account missing players, I wouldn't put them anywhere near that.
Yeah.
So I'm sitting here right now. Where the heck do I put them? I don't know.
Well, it was, I mean, it's
why
weird.
Do people care?
It was a weird week in the NFL, and you had Cowboys losing, Packers losing, Titans losing. So, I mean, the Bills got destroyed by the Colts. So, kind of a weird move a weekend in terms of the movement there. The AFC, though, in general, I mean, it's just really difficult to figure out. The Titans just lost to the Texans. I don't know what to think about the Bills. Like, I look at them, their point differential is plus 119 this year. They crush the awful teams, and then they seem to struggle against some of the better teams, and also the teams that are in Jacksonville, Florida, apparently. They struggle against those teams as well. But they're 6-4. Right now, they're barely hanging on to a playoff spot in the AFC. You got the Ravens at 7-3, although, you know, I look at the Ravens, I still think outside of playing against the Chicago Bears, it takes Lamar Jackson having pretty outstanding weeks for them to be really, really good. The Bengals at 6-4, Steelers at 5-4-1, Chargers at 6-4. All of a sudden, the Chiefs have come on. They're 7-4, even though, you know, their offense still, to me, doesn't look quite right. And then you have the Patriots, who have won 5 games in a row, who are at 7-4, and, oh, by the way, are in first place in the AFC East. I have no idea what to make of the AFC based on what we've seen through the first 11 weeks.
It's wild. I mean, there are 12 teams right now legitimately right there for a playoff spot, for, you know, 7 spots, which, of course, is just how the NFL likes it. But this is, I mean, you could pick apart any team in here. I mean, the Patriots right now, they're kind of the darling. And if they thump the Titans on Sunday, they'll be even more the darling. What have they done? I mean, you know, blowing out the Browns, that was good for sure. I mean, almost beating the Bucks seemed like a miracle that night. You know, I go through what they've done. They went out to L.A. and beat the Chargers in a good game, 27-24. That was a good win. They've been dominating teams. That's the thing. Like, they've been so dominant last 3 weeks, but it's still Panthers, banged-up Browns, and the Browns are, again, like all these teams, so weird. Yeah. I don't know what the Browns just had to squeak out a 13-10 win over the Lions and Tim Boyle.
Yeah.
What? So, I mean, the Pats go handle the Falcons on the road. I think they're very good, but they're not some kind of unbeatable team. The Bills, like you said, who the heck knows? Now some people are talking again about the Bengals because they went out to the Raiders. So I think the Raiders and Broncos are of those 12 teams. I'm ready to just lop them off and make it 10. I think that's where it's heading. I could be wrong, but I think that's where it's heading. So the Bengals go out there and thump the Raiders. Great. And the last time out, they were at home against the Browns and lost 41-16. The timeout before that, they lost to the Jets.
Yeah.
The timeout before that, they went to Baltimore and beat the Ravens 41-17. I mean, this conference is absolutely drunk. I mean, it really is.
I mean, right now there are 4 teams in the AFC that are out. Miami's out, the Jets are out, and then obviously the Texans and the Jags are out as well. Now, I agree with you. I don't think Denver's very good. I think the Raiders are about to fade quickly here. So the AFC West, to me right now, is a 2-team race between the Chargers and the Chiefs, and we'll see what happens on that front. You know, the North, who we thought could be the best division in the NFL, or at least in the AFC, to start this season, I mean, it's good. But again, I don't feel like there's a great team in the North. I mean, the Baltimore's leading it right now at 7-3. You know, Pittsburgh, I guess, it's relishing in that tie for the Detroit Lions, because right now that has them ahead of Cleveland because they tied that game. Cincinnati at 6-4, but every one of those teams in the North, I don't really trust. Like, I don't really trust really anybody in the AFC right now based on the way things have gone.
I mean, again, look at the Ravens. You know, they've had some stirring. I mean, that comeback against the Chiefs, and back then it was like, whoa, anybody beating the Chiefs is a big deal. I mean, they were so lucky to beat the freaking Lions. Like, it took an incredible intervention from officials and the god, the football gods, to create that win.
The greatest kick in NFL history, yeah.
Yeah. They bombed the Chargers. The next week, they get bombed by the Bengals. You know, 2 weeks later, they go get dominated by the Dolphins. I don't know what to think of them. I do think that at least with the Ravens, you know, you have that one player who probably make a difference in some games. I thought that in that division, I absolutely thought Cleveland was going to establish itself as the dominant team, and they've had a lot of bad luck this year. Still think that's a really talented roster. That's an, I mean, it is, it's an underwhelming division overall, but it is as competitive as you could hope for. And there's going to be some really big games between a lot of those teams down the stretch.
And then you have the Colts, who, I'll be honest, I wrote off a couple of weeks ago. And now here they sit 6-5. They won three games in a row. They beat the Bills. Not only beat the Bills, they absolutely destroyed the Bills. And they've got a game coming up against Tampa Bay that I don't think they're going to win. But if they do, all of a sudden they're sitting in a pretty good spot. Not only with the wild card race, but, I mean, who knows? Could climb back in the AFC South race as well. So you've got the Colts kind of creeping back into this discussion. You know, it's kind of amazing that they did what they did on Sunday, considering that Carson Wentz threw for like 105 yards in the game. It was unbelievable.
Right. He's 11 for 20 for 106, and they just trounced them. But it helps to have 32. Oh, I thought Taylor had 200 yards. 32 for, oh, just, wait a minute. Oh, I'm sorry. He had, because he had his fifth touchdown was the receive. There
right.
You go. It's 204 total yards, 185 on the ground, five total touchdowns. So that's the thing. If the Colts are going to do, like, if they make any kind of run at the division, which I still think is a very remote possibility, he's going to have to be great. Like, he's not throwing for 106 and,
nope.
And they're hanging with the Bucks. So, we'll see. But it has been impressive for them to bounce back the way they did after the loss to the Titans. It was a little dicey. You know, they went up and down the field on the Jets. They had to hold on against the Jags. One incredible. But let's also remember, how many single results, especially in this conference, could you isolate and say, oh, so this team is way better than this team? You know, do we think the Colts are flat out better than the Bills? They trounced them on one day. We'll see. This is a big. If they beat the Bucs, then okay, you can start talking about this. And by the way, if Taylor has a big day, then just be ready to be infuriated,
oh, yeah,
Titans fans, because the MVP talk will heat up even more.
Tune in to the NFL Game of the Week on 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Red Spirits and Wine in Bellevue. The Game of the Week this Thursday on 102.5 The Game is the Las Vegas Raiders taking on the Dallas Cowboys with a 3:30 p.m. kickoff. We'll come back. We'll continue the conversation on the AFC. Who is your AFC favorite right now? Hit up our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. That's ahead. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions, right here. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. We'll be joined by Gentry Estes from the Tennessean to begin the 8 o'clock hour, coming up here in about 12, 13 minutes or so. So looking forward to that conversation coming up here in a few minutes. Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Indy Ben texting in. I don't think there's any question that the three teams that are playing the best football right now in the AFC are the Patriots, the Colts, and the Chiefs. Wentz doesn't need to be great for the Colts to win games. They can play with anyone when they run the ball the way they do, complemented by an opportunistic defense. This coming from Indy Ben. I would agree with his assessment that those three teams are playing the best in the AFC right now. I don't know that that means those are the three best teams in the AFC.
And again, I mean, look, the Colts looked great. What a win. I don't know that I would say that team is playing the best in the AFC based on their 23-17 win over the Jags at home, in which they held on late to win the game. So it's 1 week of wow. It's 2 weeks of chicken soup, you know, Jets and Jaguars after that loss of the Titans. And good for you. You took advantage. You got to win. Then you went out and did that. Okay, I'm paying attention now. Let's see what you do against the Bucks at home. You get that done.
Now we're talking.
You know, and then, yeah, then they really, certainly the wild card situation. I mean, if you can beat both of those teams back-to-back weeks, boy, it looks a lot better. You still have the Patriots ahead. You still have a trip to go play the Cardinals ahead. You know, it's still a very difficult road to get in, let alone actually make a run at the division.
Ben on the text line, what's up with Lamar Jackson missing like 2 to 3 games a year due to being sick? He was sick again on Sunday, much to the chagrin of Joe Rexrode, who had that pigskin pick 'em pick over the weekend, God. And then Lamar's out.
I mean, I had a chance to dominate this week, and that and like whatever the Chargers did to not cover. But anyway, it is kind of interesting. Was it Chipotle Rhea? I mean, I know he's had some other stuff going on with the stomach before, but it wasn't COVID, so that's good.
Yeah.
I don't know.
He's had COVID twice, I believe.
Yeah, that's a big win for them without him to go win in Chicago. Chicago's bad. I actually am starting to embrace the wonderful Thanksgiving football tradition of Lions football.
I'm calling my shot.
They might actually get a dub.
The Detroit Lions are winning on Thanksgiving Day. You heard it here first. They are winning the game on Thanksgiving Day.
I mean, the parades in the streets of Detroit, if this happens. But,
yes.
They are, they are cheeks. The Bears are cheeks. But still, for the Ravens to, like, that's a big outcome in the AFC race. To be able to, like, scrounge together that win. I mean, it's like, you know, it's like you look at the Titans and it's, man, if you just make another couple plays for all the things that went wrong to at least maybe beat the Jets or Texans, think of the position you'd be in right now.
Are you ready for the top five offensive grades from Pro Football Focus that John Glennon has come out with for the Titans against the Texans?
Now, wait a minute. Why is this on Tuesday?
I don't know if he came out with it yesterday and I'm just missing it, but he just tweeted it, yeah.
Yeah. The heck, Glennon? Is it because it's a holiday week?
Could be. I don't know.
I thought things would go earlier in a holiday week.
You know, Glennon's pulling some double duty now, doing the NHL.com stuff for the Preds. So
he's officially NHL.com for the Preds?
He's officially NHL.com for the Preds.
Congrats, John Glennon.
There you go.
And get your freaking PFF stuff out there faster. I don't care. No, but congrats.
Would you like to take a guess?
I'd love to hear this.
At the top five offensively for the Titans.
Okay, the top five.
Yeah. I can tell you this: Ryan Tannehill's not in there.
Yeah, I was going to say my number one. I'm gonna guess. Well, I guess the five.
Okay.
Tell me if I get the five right.
All right.
My guess on the five would be Westbrook Akina. I mean Questenberry because they love Questenberry. There's two. Maybe Hilliard. How about? Lawan. So I'll go the tackles. I think a lot of the problem with the protection the other day was interior.
Okay.
But, you know, that doesn't necessarily mean anything to these PFF grades. So I go both tackles, Hilliard, Westbrook Akina, and Firkser.
Okay. You got 2 out of 5.
Okay.
A.J. Brown at number one with 837. He played in 42 of the team's 81 snaps. So you have to have at least 20 snaps to qualify for this award. Nick Westbrook-Akina at number two, Taylor Lewan at three. So those are the two you got. Roger Saffold with a 71-1 grade at four. Dez Fitzpatrick at number five, a 65-4 grade.
Okie dokie.
What do you think of that one?
Well, I mean, if you're grading on the rookie who just got elevated from the practice squad curve,
yeah.
I mean, he did catch a touchdown. He made a couple plays. Yeah, I mean, these grades, again, like, so the TD they gave up at Seattle – there was a miscommunication. I honestly forgot who it was, but Fulton got pegged. Like
there was Molden and Fulton.
Oh, is that what it was? And so
and that was last we saw Molden for a while.
Yeah, and Fulton gets like the bad grade. So he rates like a 20 or something when he played a great game. You know, I mean, it's again PFF. There's some good things. They count up blitzes. They count up. They can look at coverages. There's a lot of things they can do. Just to keep track of things that are useful, the individual grading of players is so bad.
Des Fitzpatrick in the top five was good stuff.
Pro Football Focus.
He did have a touchdown.
Grades are the Taysom Hill of football analytics.
We had a texter earlier say that Taysom Hill must have something on like the Saints owners, right? Like there's got to be something.
I mean, that's a good point. Maybe
$45 million to $90 million. What a range of a contract
to be like
glorified fullback,
five plays a game. It's incredible.
Does Taysom Hill have the best job in sports?
You'd
pay that much money to just float around out there?
I still say the best job is if you're like a pretty well-paid backup quarterback who never gets hit.
Yeah.
But it's not bad.
I got a texture that says, the Bears and Lions on Thanksgiving Day is like playing in the Cheeks Bowl. It's coming from Matthew. Thank you, Matthew.
This should be a Cheeks Bowl.
That's right. Oh, man.
Yeah, it's a doozy. At least they've added the, you know, I like that they've added the night game on Thanksgiving.
Cause
a lot of times it's a good game. Because, you know, some years, I mean, the Cowboys, especially when the Cowboys are bad, like some years, like, ugh, you got two Cheeks games.
Yeah.
But the addition of the primetime game, pretty much they pick one that should be good, and most years it is good. Well, this year it's what? Bills Saints, right? Actually, a really intriguing game Thursday. Yeah. Both teams.
Simeon in New Orleans.
Yeah, Simeon, and I don't know what's going on with the Bills, so but yeah.
Well, we know they're not gonna be able to run the ball against that front. They don't run the ball anyway, so might as well just drop back and throw it 65 times.
There you go, Josh Allen. Get the arm limber.
So I think I figured out the AFC last night.
Okay.
We've gone through this discussion of how wacky and wide open it is. We're gonna circle around and Kansas City's gonna end up winning the AFC again.
I mean,
I think that's what's gonna happen.
Maybe. They certainly they've been there. Their season, they got the quarterback, and the defense. Just I was impressed. I know the Cowboys are banged up, but that was an impressive. Like it's amazing. Is it just as simple as Chris Jones can move inside and all of a sudden like you have a defense again?
Like people could cover.
Yeah, no, they look like they found themselves, and they may be as dangerous as anyone. You know, when you look at that team, that's where. That win over the Chiefs for the Titans, I mean, that could end up being huge. You know, that could be the difference between playing them here or there. And there's obviously so many ways this could go. But you've put yourself still in a position, even with that loss to the Texans, to get after the one, and it could be such a big deal.
Dennis on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. The Dogwater Bowl works better when it comes to the Bears and the Lions.
That's a good point. I mean, the dog water bowl is actually like you actually have bowls of dog water.
Yes.
Like there's one in my house right now.
Stack them.
Yeah. Yeah. The dog. The like. Is there a some like the you know the Purina dog water bowl?
Yeah, should be right. They've got all these
Something
other
like
names.
That. Yeah, why not? That's kind of good.
Are we staring down the barrel of a Andy Dalton, Tim Boyle quarterback matchup on Thursday? Is Jared Goff going to be ready to play? Because either way, that's going to be a doozy with Andy Dalton starting for Chicago, which he will be. Justin Fields is not playing. So Andy Dalton, Tim Boyle, or Andy Dalton, Jared Goff coming up on Thursday morning. Get ready for that.
I mean, you're seriously talking like a 9-7 game. Which, by the way, one of my worst Thanksgiving memories, I think I've talked about this on the show.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you again. When the Lions led the Giants 7-6, Bill Belichick, defensive coordinator for the Lions, and Gary freaking Danielson, up 7-6 inside the 10 with like 30 seconds left. Or like, you know, they like a minute left. Like kick a field goal and you probably win. He throws a pick six to LT who runs it back like 95 yards to destroy my Thanksgiving.
And thus,
I'm still mad. So all the Vols fans who get mad at Gary Danielson for his call, like you don't even know what it's like to be mad at Gary Danielson.
Rex Road, the tears are still flowing.
I mean, I was having a great Thanksgiving.
Just totally down the drain.
Fourth grade.
When we come back, we'll be joined by our good friend Gentry Estes from the Tennessee, and we'll get his thoughts on the Titans and the Vols as well. All that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
At Giant Eagle, we believe in better. And that includes finding more ways to help you save. Because finding a good deal is everyone's deal. Because every dollar and every moment counts. On sale this season at Giant Eagle, you'll find lower prices on hundreds of favorites, like seedless grapes, ground beef, Giant Eagle American cheese, and more. Giant Eagle, because it matters. Limited time only through September 9, 2026. Prices and participation may vary. See store for details.
Happy birthday, America. It's time to celebrate and play your favorite Las Vegas casino games by American-owned SpinQuest.com. What's better than fireworks and American pie? Hitting a blackjack in the palm of your hand, and you won't lose your fingers. Over 1,000 games, including slots and live dealers. And $30 coin packs are on sale for $10. SpinQuest.com. Buy American players for American players.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.